Hi again, and welcome to the Stouting Off podcast. Let's spout off commentary on the everyday, shall we? I'll be swimming together with you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Bum, 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 bum. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Hoo, you, hoo. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with. Welcome to the Stouting Off podcast. I am your host now and forevermore, Drew Stoutenberg, on episode number 31. The sods are flying, Jordy. And how are you?
Doing great, thank you.
The sods are flying by.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's been 31 already. I was about to say three dozen, but a dozen is 12. not 10 or even what 10.3333333, which would be 30.99999. So 31. Cool math, human calculator, but doesn't know what a dozen is, so that's great. I am excited to be here. Christmas is fast approaching. Kwanzaa is fast approaching. Hanukkah, I think we're already in. I think we're in Hanukkah right now. It's just the most wonderful time of the year.
It is.
It's a time where you get paid vacation days. It's a time where you see friends and family that you don't see very often. It's a time where you go to your hometown. And you spend time with your family and your in-laws, and you eat nonstop, and you eat, drink, and be merry, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
How's your time in Michigan been so far?
Good.
Asking
busy,
him
but
this.
Good.
Busy. Isn't that how you answered one of the first questions I ever asked you in one of the first episodes?
Yeah, and then
I was like, how's your weekend?
Going. Yeah.
I was like, how's your week been? You're like, great. Busy? But great. Yeah. That was like the response.
It's been good. Busy, but good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Doing great. Thank you. I had somebody, speaking of doing great, thank you. I had somebody email me like a little graphic they made in Photoshop that was doing great. Thank you. I was like, dude, we got to slap this on some shirts or something.
Yeah, let's do that.
Or coffee mugs. Or I really like the idea of socks. Honestly, I like the idea of stouting off socks. We'll get to that at some point. Okay, dude, fine. My hands are cold. It is a little chilly in here.
It's freezing.
I keep my house pretty lean. I keep it at 65 even in the winter. And that's not unheard of, but Jordan, just before this episode, before we hit record here, he's like, dude, it's freezing in your house. Now, if somebody says that, even if it is freezing, it's like when somebody makes fun of your brother. It's like, dude, you don't get to say that. Like, maybe it's true, but only I get to make fun of him.
You like know, inner circle. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, you don't get to tell me how warm or cold it is in my house. It's my house, but you're right.
Yeah, even though you walk into my house and you're like, yeah, we got to open some windows. You got to turn the air on.
That's because I'm visibly sweating sometimes when I set foot in there. Dude, when I cook dinner for you guys that one time, you know, A, I run hot as is. B, I was wearing a long sleeve shirt. C, I was over a hot stove. D, it's warm in there.
Yeah.
I was sweating when I sat down. I was like this. Mom, you'll have to excuse me. I'm so sorry. I was like this. But that was, again, that was the perfect storm.
Yeah.
The perfect Strom. Speaking of Strom, we used to do this Christmas play at our church back in Michigan. A volunteer there, Larry Strom, dad of Lauren Strom, who was on the show, he sang, like, it would go, this Christmas thing would go through like Christmas songs and stuff in the first act, and the second act would be the life of Christ, you know, birth and Christmas story and whatever. And then it actually continued through life of Christ, death, burial, resurrection, whatever. And there was a scene where Christ was crucified and put in the tomb. And during the play, there was like this 30-second silent, well, like ominous, like low pad, like just like a sad moment. The auditorium was dark. And then the next scene was the resurrection scene, and Larry Strom was singing it. Okay. He was singing the resurrection song, whatever it was. And that little period of where it's like this low, sad, kind of ominous, you know, feel in the air, that atmosphere. Johnny Nagel called that the calm before the Strom, where Larry Strom would sing the next piece. He's like, here comes the calm before the Strom. And I think about that at least three times a day since then, since 2008, when I think that was
12 years ago. Dude, that's funny.
The calm before the Strom. It was fun times. It was fun to do stuff like that in youth group and church and stuff. I have my protein shake that looks like flat Mountain Dew. It looks like Mountain Dew that you shook up, you poured out, and then you let it sit for 48 hours. Doesn't this kind of look like it?
Yeah.
It looks like ooze from Ninja Turtles 2, Revenge of the Ooze or whatever it's called, subtitle. But it's good. It's my yummy protein juice. It makes daddy big and strong.
Yeah.
Neither, though. You know, I feel actually kind of strong, but I'm not very big. Man, I was looking at my arms the other day. People do this sometimes. I mean, you catch yourself in, you know, the mirror reflection of somebody's car or whatever when you're walking into Target or the store or whatever. And I was like, man, for how much you work out, Drew, you got to be bigger than this. You got to be beefier. But I like being lean, too. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Clothes fit better.
All that matters ultimately is that you feel good about yourself. Yeah. And I feel pretty good. I feel good.
Not me, man.
I miss you in the gym, man. Ever since the hernia.
Yeah.
It kind of changed things. Schlink. How's that going? Do you have plans for patching you up? Yeah. Jordan's got a hernia. First of the year.
Yeah.
New Year's Day.
After the first of the year.
New Year's Day, baby.
Yeah, January 1st at 8 a.m.
I was thinking, yeah, Jan 1, 8 a.m. be a good time.
Yeah. I got to get it patched up.
Yeah. You should go to my my brother's guy in Toronto. Yeah.
Actually, so he can turn me around and say.
Yeah. Did I tell that story on here?
Bruise. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad went there, though, with a real hernia, and they hooked him up. He got sorted out real good. And I don't think they had to do the mesh screen. I think it was some, like, I don't know, a little more holistic maybe, but I don't really care about holistic.
Cage-free mesh screen.
Cage-free, mesh-free, metal-free. And now he's got the strongest abdominal wall in the Midwest. So it's pretty crazy.
He's known for that, I think.
He is. No, you're right. He's got a reputation around the region. In fact, sometimes just when I'm conducting my daily work, calling companies around the Midwest area, they'll say, Stoutenberg, that name sounds fun. Wait, are you Doug's son? Say, yeah, how do you know him? Well, his abdominal wall, it's the strongest in this entire region of the world. And I say, yeah.
You related to Doug Strong Ab Stoutenberg?
By chance? He's the one who went up to Toronto and got the mesh-free, cage-free screen put in, right?
He just put out that book.
He did. The book is just his abs. I don't know if my dad has abs anymore, but when I was a kid growing up, he was a strong and like ripped guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Very barrel-chested guy, just big old, yeah, whatever you call these.
Pecs?
Pecs, yeah, pecs. Why was that?
Dude, my dad, kind of same. Your dad and my dad are very similar.
They would be either best friends or worst enemies.
Yeah.
Probably best friends.
I think best friends, yeah.
Because they would sit down in a room like this, and they would just start talking about the pitch of the roof, or they would start talking about how the outlets aren't spaced every 6 feet, which is code. Or they would start talking about, that door isn't hung totally right. I wouldn't have put a left-handed door in there. Put a right-handed door.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is how our dads operate.
Yep. It's how they think.
It's how they bond.
Yeah.
And this is how we bond. They're kids, man.
But yeah, dude, my dad, you know, he's always been like a stocky guy.
Yeah.
But it's never soft, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, my dad's arms, chest, like, it's hard.
Yes.
He's rock solid.
It's a true thing, dude. Dads also have huge forearms, man. They have Popeye forearms.
Yeah.
It's like with strong that. And hard. I don't know.
Are we going to have those?
When I enter fatherhood, if my arms aren't looking like, yeah, Popeye, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, that's
I'm
what I
returning
thought
returning the child.
Yeah.
That's why, yeah. That's why I thought I was signing up for it when I became a dad. Oh, I was about to come up with a scenario like you leave the hospital and, you know, I was expecting a little bit bigger forearms, but the procedure didn't go right.
So. Thanks, doctor, for the baby and all the stuff. Thanks for taking care of my wife. Can I ask you a question about my forearms?
Yeah, when should I expect these to start getting bigger? What's the timeline?
Do we need to stay another day or?
Dude, back to your topic, though. Dads, like older dads, our dad age, say in their 50s and 60s and beyond. Yeah, they're like hard. And even if they have like kind of a belly or a gut, that's hard
it's
too.
Hard. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's like you got a actual bowling ball in there. Yeah. You know, even like I said, even if it's a gut, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's so great. That's how bodybuilders used to look back in the day, way back in the day, black and white photos. Like bodybuilders didn't have definition. Like,
right.
They were just like big, strong guys.
Yeah. They I didn't mean, even if you watch like that weight, strongman,
strongest man, yeah,
strongest whatever. Man, whatever it is, those guys aren't extremely defined. They're just huge.
Big old guys, hard guys.
Yeah.
That's great. Anyway, we got to get you in at the climbing gym. Get the forearms worked on.
Yeah, I mean, I'd do something like that.
It's really cool. And ever since I've been to the climbing gym, of course, everywhere I go on social media, ad for Climb Nashville. Ad here. Try to get your 3-month membership for free.
Do you rent the gear there or do you have to bring
it? Yeah, it's there. Yeah, they just have it there. It's nice gear, clean.
That's nice.
Yeah, so anyway, oh man, we talked about Guy Fieri with the Will Woodington feature episode. I noticed just a few days after that, Guy was honored on the internet for having done this. Guy Fieri has raised $21.5 million for unemployed restaurant workers, which means Guy Fieri has done more for unemployment restaurant workers than Congress has done in the last 8 months. But Guy is out here raising almost $22 million for people.
Yeah, that's legit.
He is a man of and for the people.
Yeah, truly.
Guy Fieri. I'm going to send you this photo, Jordy. Middle Class Fancy posted it.
Really?
If you can believe that, yeah. Like, it's just inconceivable that they would post that. Yeah, they actually did.
Did you see Dave Portnoy's latest rant about like them shutting down New York in like dining in basically in New York? And
no,
Portnoy went off on this massive rant saying like you're ruining everybody's lives by not allowing people to come in and do that. Like, who's going to go out in 15 degree, you know, weather to get takeout in New York? It's just like going to kill the businesses and stuff like that.
Sure.
It was more so it wasn't about the and he makes this clear too. It wasn't about like the mandate or whatever. It was more so just about the people who it's affecting, you know.
And yeah.
The guy, Marcus, I think it's Lemonis from The Prophet.
Is that a show?
Yeah, like you know this guy. This guy. You know him.
Ah, I've seen him.
He said, like, put your money where your mouth is. If you put up 500 grand, I'll put up 500 grand and we'll make like this little charity where people can do this stuff. So that's up to $1 million.
That's sweet.
Yeah, Portnoy was like, that. If you run it, I'll you know, market it and stuff like that.
Pony up, yeah. That's cool.
People are trying to help.
That's good. Businesses are suffering, man. You know, it stinks. In many places, they don't even have a chance to succeed or operate safely, you know. So I feel for that.
Yeah, and they're doing everything they can, too.
They're like, doing everything. Could you imagine?
On their own dime.
Dude, there's a Mexican restaurant in Lachlan Springs neighborhood where I used to live. They opened like right before March, you know, right before everything.
Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah, I think it's what it is.
Yellow awning.
Yeah, they still seem to be, like their sign is still there.
Yeah.
You know, lights are on.
Yeah.
So, but I just feel for businesses like that because it takes 5 years to recoup and start turning a profit on a restaurant, usually on average. That's like the stat. What do you do when you get a text that says something along the line, how do you feel when you get a text that says something along the lines of, hey, can you talk? Or, hey, do you have time for a phone call sometime this week from a personal friend?
Anxiety.
I would almost rather they just call me right then and there with no text in advance, you know?
Yeah.
I got a text recently that said, hey, are you free? It's a friend I don't talk to very often. Hey, are you free for a phone call? That's not COVID. That's protein shake, protein powder. Didn't properly shake it. Are you free for a phone call sometime this week? I get anxiety instantly.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what are they confronting me about? Or what are they going to ask me for? You know, maybe I need to be a bit more gracious.
And you're not going to schedule that for, oh, it's Sunday and I got this text. Yeah, how about Friday at 3:30? No. You're going to be like, how's 1 minute ago?
Exactly. Exactly. How about now? How about you didn't send me that and you just called me instead? It's not like you have to schedule a call with a friend. It's you call them, and if they don't answer, you leave a voicemail or send them a text and they call you back.
Yeah.
That simple. You don't need to schedule calls. When you start scheduling stuff, that's where it gets hairy.
Yeah.
That's where there's a bit of a burden on the other person. Some people don't operate like that, though. It's purely transactional and, hey, we're just setting up a time to talk. But if there's any, if somebody says, hey, can you talk in, you know, 2 days from now at 3:30 p.m., I'm like, man, if we're scheduling something, that must mean it's important, which must mean also that it's going to involve me. You know, it's just an emotional response for me.
Yeah.
Protein powder in my throat. Want to cough extremely loud, but I'm not going to. I'm going to just swallow it.
We could mute it.
We could do that. Let's not try, though.
Dude, yeah, I don't like those. I don't like those texts.
Just call me.
Call me or don't ask.
Don't tell.
Because here's what I do. You want to know what I do?
I would like to know.
If they're like, hey, can we talk Wednesday at 3:30 and it's Sunday? I'll be like, yeah, no problem. Hey, what's the call regarding?
Yeah.
And then we chat it out basically through text.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it is.
That's so true.
Because I want to be prepared too.
Yeah.
For whatever it is.
Yeah. What is this about? Yeah, that kind of text or that kind of message just stresses me out in Jen.
Yeah.
Are you free to talk this afternoon? Yeah, I'm free to talk right now. What is it? That's the moral of the story. Have you ever roasted somebody? And again, we're not perfect humans on the Stouting Off podcast. We know that no person is perfect. And occasionally you might roast one of your friends to another friend. And you take a screenshot of something they said or something. Have you ever taken a screenshot of something that someone said and accidentally sent it back to them? Or
no.
I have, dude.
I've been the recipient of that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you believe this absolute idiot just said this? Yeah, that was me. I do remember saying that.
Yeah.
What's that like? What can you explain? Do you remember the specifics? Was it me?
I'm not going to say it, but yeah, it was not you. No, it was a...
Was it work related?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so yeah, I said something and then the screenshot just came right back and I said, hey, me again.
Hi, it's me again. Hi. Wow. Yeah.
I was like a high school girl. I was like, hi, me again.
Yeah. I've done that before.
Could have handled that differently, but
no, that's the right way. You didn't say, hey, you didn't repay evil with evil. You just said, you were just a little you were sassy.
Wanted to rub the nose.
Yeah, rub their nose in it. I've done that before, and you have to be like, man, like you really have to think quickly on your feet.
Yeah.
You know? So say it was, I don't know, a friend named Jared, and Jared said something stupid, and I take a screenshot and accidentally send it back to Jared. I would say something like on the fly, like, dude, I still can't believe you said this. This is crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But Jared probably knows. There's probably reasonable doubt in Jared's mind. Jared Miller is the only Jared I know. He went to Jared, actually, when he got engaged. He got his wife's engagement, his fiance's engagement ring from Jared.
Discount?
Yeah, because the family discount, because his name's Jared, obviously in the family.
You running any promotions right now?
For anyone named
No, Jared. Sir, not right now. But my name's Jared.
Oh, Jared. We didn't realize it was you. They roll out the red carpet treatment for him then. We also played on a hockey team with that Jared. And we would always say, like, whenever he got, like, a goal or an assist, we'd always say, he went to Jared. You know? That's great. Stupid stuff like that. Little catchphrases and nicknames and stuff like this. That really galvanizes a people group.
Yeah.
They say that language builds culture. So not just like language in the sense that we speak English or, you know, you speak whatever language with your people, but it's more, in addition to that, it's also like the slang and the different vernacular that you use and the nicknames and the shorthand versions of saying things that really brings a friend group, you know, together.
How
you say things, jokes, the humor begins to, just integrate. And then pretty soon you've got your own little friend culture.
Yeah.
We build that. I wonder if Stouting Off has a culture. Yeah, we kind of do. It's just us. I mean, like, but people listen to this probably and they're like, yeah, that's how these guys talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether that's maybe we have certain, I've been told I have a Midwest accent. I think I speak perfect English. I think I speak basically, what do they call that? Oxford? No. It's like the British version, whatever. I think I'm the standard for English. Dude, if you want me to narrate and like read a book on tape or something, or if you want a perfect voice to do that in English language, it's me.
Really?
No, it's not. It's not actually. I think I'm nasally. My voice is nasally. I got stuff up here all the time. It's called vasomotor rhinitis. I was diagnosed with it when I was like probably 13, 14.
No joke?
No. And basically, vasomotor rhinitis is where there's just like fluid up here. Up here somewhere. Maybe behind my skull. In my skull. And it just kind of moves around in there. It's very viscous fluid, so it's not like whatever. But for example, when I lay down, if I'm laying on my right side, the fluid follows gravity down to this side and it blocks my right nostril, dude. And my left nostril is open.
That sucks.
So at any given time, like right now, where I'm just upright, one of my nostrils is working like pretty close to 100%, and one of them is probably only working at like 30%. Left feels good right now.
Oh my God.
Do you hear that?
Yes.
That's probably freaking 18%. Can you do both? Are you ripping both? Hey! Maybe we've all got it. No. Just trying to make myself feel better. But that's my cross to bear, and that's why I'm nasally, man. You hear the clinks of the bottles? That means some bottles are touching, which I don't like them to touch, because then when there's a rumble, clinks happen and I live backed up to train tracks. But
you ever bring anyone into your friend group for the first time? And this takes a special, special sense of awareness to be able to make inside jokes, vocabulary, fun, laughs, all the stuff, make it accessible to somebody who doesn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can be very polarizing too. When you bring somebody new into the group and they hang out with you and your friends for the first time, or even if it's a girlfriend, you know, bringing a girlfriend around the friend group for the first time. And it's like, Drew, why are they all calling you mother? That's one of my idiot friend groups. Like Will and Dice and Mook call me mother. you know, and just inside jokes and all this stuff. Yeah. You got to have, it's kind of like, it's almost, you got to have some thick skin to endure it for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? You just got to be confident in yourself and not feel put off by like when you're a new person to a friend group or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's also incumbent upon the friend group to not be speaking over the head of somebody who doesn't know what you're talking about because it sounds like nonsense.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a two-way dance.
Yeah. True.
Is that the fridge?
That's the fax machine.
That's the fax. We just got a hot fax coming in. I mentioned this on past episodes, but I used to work at Best Buy in the computers department, and selling printers and fax machines was a part of my job, and I still don't know how a fax machine works, and I used to sell them. People would ask, what's the difference between this one and this one? I would just say, just read the card on the price tag thing. That was my whole sales consultant approach.
I remember you telling me stories from Best Buy. And how people would come in and ask you for like memory cards or SD cards.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I'm looking for one that's 64 GB.
Yes. Indian people did that a lot. Indian people, GB.
Need 128 GB hard drive.
Yep. Dude, GB was a thing. Also, I worked at Best Buy with Ben Daig. And Ben Daig hadn't had like a customer facing job in his life, I don't think. He's a dork. I love him to death, but he's not a warm and fuzzy. He kind of is now. He's kind of getting warm and fuzzy by conditioning, you know. Yeah. But in his natural state, he's just a video game nerd. And Ben listens to this podcast too, and he's one of my best friends in the universe. I stood in his wedding, as did you. And it was an extremely fun wedding.
Yeah, it was.
But, dude, there are pictures of us dancing at that wedding where we are soaked in sweat. And, dude, the music took you somewhere, dude.
Yeah.
You were on another planet.
Yeah.
Where the only thing.
It was Brett
Cummins. It was Brett Cummins, Motor City HDJ, another member of the E2I design. See, now we're getting, it almost sounds like we're inside jokes now, you know? Now we're the inside joke family.
Yeah.
But E2I Design. Podcast network, Motor City HDJ, best DJ in Detroit area, Brett Cummins, DJed that wedding. And he took us to another planet where the only thing that humans were created there to do was to just groove.
And dance.
And vibe and dance.
And kick during the Cupid shuffle.
Dude.
I was doing high kicks.
You were doing
like
a kick
Rockettes.
Line? Yes, dude. Now yeah, kick, dude. Now kick, now.
I feel like I looked sweet at that wedding, too.
You did. Your hair was long.
Yeah, it was like down to my shoulders.
Yeah, dude. You were looking like Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a fun sweet. Johnny Depp. Not Edward Scissorhands. Is that Johnny Depp? Ben. Worked at Best Buy with me, and here's how he worked in the video games department because of course. And here's how, and again, I explain his background. He's not a warm and fuzzy guy. He kind of is now. He's an accountant. Like that's, you know, he's analytical. He's an investigator, and he's in a customer service position now where he's selling video games to people. And here's how people would come in and ask him, hey, do you have the new Halo game that just dropped? Do you have Halo 3? He'd be like, no, we don't have it. We're sold out. And then the customer would be like, okay. Can you maybe check to see if any other stores around here? Yeah, the Perrysburg, Ohio store has some. I caught some of his interactions, and that was what it would be like. That's what it would be like. No, we don't have it. We're sold out. No further like step as to, but we can do this for you. We can order it for you. Here are the backup options. Here's a contingency plan. Here's a plan B. Whatever.
Here's
it's just
a new
now.
Game.
Here's new. You want Halo? We don't have Halo, but we do have Madden 2008. This is the best I can do for you.
That's the plan B.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to work at that company though.
It's so funny.
I was employee of the quarter 1 year. I got this whole grill kit.
Did you get like the plaque up on the wall or anything like that?
No. I just got honored in front of the team. The team was like 200 people though. And
did you guys have like daily sales meetings or
we had a chalk talk, which chalk talk was, if you can imagine like a chalkboard, a coach writing X's and O's and like a football plays and stuff. That's the spirit behind the chalk talk, but it would be a dry erase marker, and it would just be like, hey, here's what we're looking for today. We're trying to get 30 new Best Buy card applications. We're trying to sell this much in warranty, whatever. Right. So we did that, but then we would do a quarterly like all team meeting, which would be a Sunday morning at like 8 a.m. before the store opened.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a good company to work for. Brian Dunn was our CEO at the time. So that's cool. Man. So I just thought of this. I just thought of this the other day, and I wrote it down saying, I got to write this. I got to mention this on the podcast. I went to Eastern Michigan University, and I went there at the same time as Ryan Graham, one of my best friends in the world, playing a band with him. He and I lived together for like 4 years. I love this guy. And we would also commute to school together. We commuted to Eastern together. I'd pick him up in the morning and we would go. We scheduled our stuff on the same day so we could be there at the same time, whatever. Had lunch there all the time. And we found out that we both had this lady because he was English lit, I believe, and I was biology. Like we're not taking classes together, but I think we were still chipping away on some of those like prereq courses or just general education stuff. So we found out, I was telling him one day, man, there's like this lady in my class. She's like older. You can tell she's like probably 50, 55. Like she just went back to school. And she always has this like look on her face, like she's being stalked. Like she looks really paranoid, you know? And he's like, does she have a roller backpack? I'm like, yes, dude. She rolls around. She has like a roll. He's like, she's in one of my classes too. And I was like, no way. Yeah, she always looks like somebody's like she thinks that someone's going to sneak up on her. She was always like this. Wide-eyed, just looking around frantically. So we gave her the name Conspiracy Lady. We didn't know her name. We just started calling her Conspiracy Lady because she seems like the type of person who just thought there was a conspiracy out to get her at all times. And so, dude, I texted Ryan this morning. I said, bro, do you have any pics of Conspiracy Lady? And he sends me a picture. He sends me five pictures. We used to take pictures of her all the time and send them to each other. And he says, he sends me a picture of her walking with her roller backpack that one of us took from the second level of the library. Like she was walking out there. One of us took it out the window. There's another one that Ryan took here and it's from the vantage point of his books. And he was just kind of like took a picture like this across the classroom. And then there's one that's of her walking by. And I believe it was Ryan took it, a picture of her like she was walking by outside on the sidewalk, took it like that. And then there's a picture from the third level of the library where he's in it and he had just walked past her. And I took a picture of him walking past her like right after he took the picture. And anyway, he said, and for these next two, you are taking a picture of her while I was taking a pic, and you can see me walking away in the pic you took. Anyway, the last day of class, it was like on our final exam in the class that I had with her, I went to take a picture of her and the flash went off.
Ooh.
So if you think about that, this is a woman who already thought there was a conspiracy out to get her. And that people were stalking her and watching her. And suddenly she sees a phone camera flash on her. Clearly, she was the only person over there. And she looked back like this.
No way.
And I was like, did one of these. What's going on with this phone? It's just the light goes off just throw for no away. Reason. Throw it away. This thing must be broken. But dude, Conspiracy Lady and her. Yeah, she was paranoid that somebody was stalking her. And it turns out the two idiots, about 20 or 21 years old, in a way, we were stalking her.
Yeah, true.
Funny times, man. That's so great.
One time, Monica was in a waiting room at our doctor. And
the kid's doctor?
No, this
family
was...
Family doc.
Yep. Mon's doctor. And
Don's
she
Mocker.
Was in there. with another person who kind of just had like, she must've been like Amish or something like that.
Okay.
She was kind of in the whole dress and had,
the little,
what is that?
It's like a,
bayonet.
It's just like a head called? Covering. No, no. It's yeah. A bayonet is the sword that's at the end of a musket.
What am
like
I thinking gun. Of?
You're thinking of a bonnet.
Yeah. Bonnet.
Yeah.
Bayonet.
But she had a bayonet on her head, dude. The sword that goes on the end of a Civil War gun.
Now, why does she was just like, why does she
have a 10-inch blade coming off? The And the woman looked over and said, you know, it's rude to stare, right? But ma'am, you have a 10-inch sharp blade used to kill soldiers in the Civil War. Going on the top. Okay, so she had a bonnet on her head or some kind of head covering.
Yeah, something like that. And
that's hilarious.
So she just snapped a quick picture on her phone, not, you know, like a
no flash, hopefully.
Yeah, like a hip fire, like just, mm-hmm. you know, just whatever. Well, then she gets called in. Now she gets home and she's like, hey.
And that woman is her doctor.
No, she gets home and she shows me this picture. And in the picture, the girl is looking right at Mon's phone, which is crazy. We got like scared and freaked out.
Dude, that is scary.
Yeah, she was like this. Actually, I'll put the picture
yeah,
up.
Yeah, can you find the picture?
Yeah,
can you look it?
Yeah, yeah, we've got that. We'll get it.
That's crazy. I was expecting to hear like the shutter sound went off. I have a really good system for taking pictures though. You want to see it?
Yeah.
Am I still in focus in camera?
Yeah.
I'll go like this. Pretend like I'm taking the phone on my ear, the call on my ear.
Yeah.
And here I am right here. And I just go volume button right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, sure. One time I've itched.
Make sure the
like,
flash goes off.
Itched my cheek like this.
Oh, really?
You know?
I like that. Yeah. It's a good idea.
Wipe the phone germs all over your cheeks.
Yeah. Get some staphylococcus on your cheek.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, what else did I want to talk about then, Jordan? It's actually all I had for written topics. But yeah, Guy Fieri was the Fieri was the highlight. I was at Kroger in Louisville. I didn't talk about this on the podcast. When we were at Kroger in Louisville, which was, by the way, the sketchiest store I've ever been in maybe my entire life.
Yeah, I mean,
I was uncomfortable even in the parking lot, dude.
Yeah.
Which is why I left and took your car. And I said, hey, I'll pull up, but I didn't pull up. I just moved it.
Just wanted to leave the store?
I just wanted to get out of the store, yeah. Not that I was scared. I was just like uncomfortable and it smelled. I just wanted to get out. Yeah. I didn't want to be in there anymore.
Get yourself out. Leave the boys in there.
Yeah, leave the boy. Yeah, that's my thing. I left the boys and I said, I'm looking out for numero uno right now, man. But anyway, in this aisle at Kroger, it was aisle 11. The things on the thing, on the sign that's dangling, you know, you look down the aisle and you see the thing. It says, you know, bread, whatever.
Yeah.
This aisle said candy, cookies, crackers, popcorn, rice cakes, incontinence. Dude. And I looked down the aisle, sure enough, snack nuts, all this other stuff, and then incontinence, like adult diapers and stuff. Incontinence, when you have trouble like with urinary stuff.
Yeah.
What now, why would that be? Why would incontinence be in an aisle with otherwise corn-based snack foods?
Yeah, right.
Incontinence. It makes just all the essentials, honey, for movie night. I'm grabbing the popcorn. I got the rice cakes and crackers and snacks and stuff. And of course, can't forget the adult diapers. Grab it all. We just need aisle 11, all the essentials. Daily.
Yeah, why are they doing that?
Daily stuff.
And why is it not called like self-care or personal care items?
That's just totally like think about if you're shopping under the little banner that says incontinence, because like it does have the main one and then shooting off the side of the aisle, it's just like, might as well just have an arrow like right here. Just
here I am.
Here's this person. This person's struggling with that. I mean, we all have our, you know, personal physical things. So I'm not passing judgment on that at all by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying Kroger
is
in the wrong for that. Can you do we have don't do that?
Yeah.
Is it the quick one?
I'm not sure.
Let's see. Yeah, don't do that got manipulated, but let's give it a shot. Hey Kroger, regarding your snack food aisle of corn-based snacks primarily, and if you thought about putting incontinence in the same aisle as that other stuff, don't do that. It's that simple. Don't do that. Don't do that. We got to fix that wave. That's on me.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll do that.
That's on here.
We'll do that. Just every three-word combination is in that like melody and format. Incontinence. I'm going to send you that photo too, Jordy Locks.
I got it. I've got it.
Did I already send it to you?
Last night.
I sent it last night?
Yeah.
In my sleep?
And you was here last night, wasn't you?
And you was here last night too, wasn't you? Best Christmas movie, by the way.
Man, yeah. Just so true.
I think that's Angels with Even Filthier Souls, which is the movie that's in Home Alone 2.
Yep.
Which turns out wasn't a real movie. Oh, there was was it The Movies That Made Us or something like this on Netflix? They went into how Home Alone was made.
Yeah.
That was so awesome. Oh, they made the whole movie in a high school.
Yep.
That was so cool.
Amazing. Home Alone 2, though. The whole house.
The flooding scene in the pool.
Yeah, so good.
They built a version of the house interior in the pool and then flooded the crap out of it. That was awesome. Yeah. Home Alone 2, though, is, I think, that's my favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, no, it's not mine, but it's
what is yours?
Santa Claus. The Santa Claus.
With
Tim Allen.
With Timothy Allen?
Yeah. It's just like
Michigan native?
Yeah. Eastern or...
Central.
Central, right?
I think it's Central Michigan. It's your favorite one?
Yeah, I don't know what it does. It's just...
It's magic.
That
still
means Christmas to me.
Yeah.
If that movie's on, it's Christmas. Want to hear a fun fact about Home Alone for me?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Home Alone 2 was the only Home Alone that we had as a family.
Oh.
Lost in New York.
Yeah.
VHS.
Sure.
And so I never thought it was Home Alone 2. I just thought it was Home Alone. I never knew there was a 1.
Wow. When did you find out?
Like late. Like high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. So I thought Lost in New York was Home Alone.
That's awesome.
You got to think like,
yeah,
dude, it's not like it, like growing up in high school today and knowing what people know because of social media is so much different. Like,
yeah,
back then we had word of mouth. We had Nokia cell phones texting T9 and then.
You didn't really have a, yeah, exactly. It's not like every person on earth had their own platform if they wanted
like
to share stuff.
Yeah.
You didn't have a voice really online. You had MySpace, but even so, that was where you like shared pictures. And the only way you could get mass messages out was by bulletins.
Yeah.
And that was even so only to your friends.
And MySpace though, MySpace, that was high school, right?
Well, that's what, yeah. But I thought you were talking about high school. I did say that. Maybe not.
No, I did. I did say that. I was just thinking like when you're really in the mood for Christmas movies, typically you're a little younger, you're getting into it. You do that stuff.
Getting into the Christmas scene.
There's an awesome movie that came out. I think it was 2 years ago called The Christmas Chronicles.
That's good. Drew been watching.
Okay.
Fire it up.
Yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to take the segment?
Yeah.
So there's a movie that came out in 2000. Nope, that's The Christmas Chronicles 2.
Oh, we want the original?
We want the original. 2018, 2 years ago. But yeah, man, this is a good movie. It basically kind of holds the same thing. Like I'm not going to give it away. Go watch The Christmas Chronicles.
What platform is it on?
Netflix.
Okay, I'll have to watch it.
And it looks like there's a second one coming out.
Is it for kids? Or can we...
it's PG.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, so is this podcast, but a lot of adults enjoy this too. Can I enjoy the podcast?
This has taken like a really special place for me. Yeah,
it's a kind of a newer film, right?
Newer film. They kind of too.
That's tight.
And they just really they do a good job about like kind of intertwining like what's happening in the actual world. They talk about Instagram and stuff like that. It's good.
I'll have to check that out, and I'll report back actually. Dude, why am I itchy right here on this part of my wrist? I'm getting mad.
Kurt Russell is the Santa Claus.
I always confuse Kurt Russell and Russell Crowe.
Really?
Because they both have Russell.
Kurt Russell, Miracle.
Oh, and Russell Crowe, Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand. And well, those are two, well, inconveniently enough, those are two movies that I always mix up. Miracle, the ice hockey movie, and Gladiator. 200 AD Greek fighting movie.
Maybe both kind of around the same thing.
Yeah.
Perseverance,
commitment, grit, not giving up, you know, staring down adversity.
Those Russells.
And Russells. Reserve. 10-year. One of our favorite bourbons sponsoring this episode. Not really. Well, that's cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
We don't need to do the good movie.
Honestly, a really good
Christmas
movie.
Chronicles?
The Christmas Chronicles, yeah.
The Christmas Chronicles on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I'll watch it before Christmas.
Yeah, do it.
You have my commitment. I'll live text you throughout. I'll be like, can you believe they just talked about Instagram. You just mentioned Instagram. Episode 31 has been, it's been a pleasure bringing this to you guys. Jordan, I've enjoyed speaking with you as always. You're just a joy and a delight in my life. And I love you.
Love you too.
Thank you as well, Stouting Off family, for listening to our podcast, for caring about what we have to say for some reason. And yeah, just being a part of this. So we love you as well. Christmas is fast approaching. So is Hanukkah. So is, well, I think we're in Hanukkah, and so is Kwanzaa and other stuff. New Year's. So that's great. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Thanks for listening to episode 31 of the Stouting Off podcast, where we spout off commentary on the everyday. This pattern's called the 2-3 clave. 1-2-3. 1-2. 1-2-3.
1-2.
The opposite is 3-2.
1-2-3.
1-2. Merry Christmas coming up soon. Bye.